wípé fàájì tẹ́lẹ̀ lájọ wọn. Àní ẹ bá mi sọ fún sísí yẹn kó má ń sálọ. Mo ti sọ wípé tẹ́lẹ̀ tẹ́lẹ̀ láwọn.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Mide. Welcome to the Age to Age podcast. So this podcast is a series of conversations that I was very fortunate to have with some very distinguished people. I grew up with a fascination for stories and for storytelling. I believe every life is a story, and I think some of the most interesting stories are told when the author is unaware. So my story is, I was born in Nigeria in the late 80s, and I lived in Nigeria for a number of years. And growing up, I always had a curiosity. I always wanted to know what life was like in parts of Nigeria, in West Africa, and in fact, in Africa as a whole. I wanted to know what things made up the culture before my time. I wanted to know what kind of music, what kind of fashion, what kind of arts, and what kind of just different aspects of life, what things informed the culture that was before my time. So this podcast is a journey through the years, and I have absolutely enjoyed listening to the experience of all of my guests. My guest in this episode, although not a stranger to me, being somebody that I've had the privilege of knowing for many, many years, it was quite interesting that we still found a lot of topics where I was still fascinated by his life experience. And I'm starting to find that even though my guests are from a similar era, no two stories are alike and no two experiences are quite the same. With that being said, on with the podcast. For the sake of those listening, what is your name?
Well, like I said, my full name is Olubenga Olabode Taiwo. Most of my colleagues called me Hector G.
Okay.
That's a nickname I imbibed from my secondary school days in Nigeria. I am a solicitor of the Supreme Court of England and Wales here. I specialize on immigration, commercial property, and family law.
Fantastic. Hector G, that's a cool nickname. Have you had that since you were very little?
Hector was my senior brother's nickname. And I imbibed that name from him. And he is, when people started calling me Hector, he changed his own name to Carter.
You changed nicknames.
Yes.
Do you remember where you were born?
I was born in Akure in Odo State in the year 1957. Yeah. So, few weeks time, I'll be 63.
Wow.
About 2 weeks time, roughly.
Are you, what position are you? How many siblings do you have?
I'm in the top position. I have my late brother. Then I have a sister who lives in America. Then myself. Then I have two junior sisters and one junior brother.
That's five other siblings.
Yeah, we are six. One is late.
Yes. Oh man. Mm. Do you remember how old were your parents when you were born? Do you remember?
Not something which I know or remember. You know, in those days, all parents are like, oh, they are too old. You know, even though they might be in their 30s, but because there's quite a lot of respect for parents in those days, you don't
get to find out how old.
How old they are. And you can't even sit down with your parents in those days. So you look at them as if they are God, you know, invisible people to relate with. Mm. So,
is that typical of your relationship with both your mom and your dad? You weren't both, very close to either of them.
Both. I think with mothers, they are a bit different because, especially my mom, I'm very, very concerned about what you eat. Yeah. And so basically, because they are all in a full-time job as well. So,
okay. Oh, what did your mom do for a living?
She works as a caterer with, I can't remember the name of it, but it's in a big company.
Company, okay.
Yeah, like the catering department, like the stall as big as the Harrods.
Wow.
In those days, yes. Wow. Yeah.
And your dad?
He was a civil servant. He was the finance secretary to the state government also.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's your earliest memory? What's the first thing you remember, your earliest memory, maybe in Akure or just in general? What's the earliest thing you remember?
You know, well, I was born in Akure, and I think we came to Ibadan, which is in Oyo State, in the 60s. I remember we were living in Okado, and I remember when the Liberty Stadium Ibadan was opened. And there was a big boxing match in those days, which was between Nigerian Dick Tiger and a British John Fullman.
Wow! Was a heavy? Do you know the division was a heavyweight?
I think middle. Okay. I don't know how to classify.
Yeah.
But it was it was a classical fight then, and. Quite a lot of people, I was sitting outside and I just saw people singing and, drumming all about.
How old were you then? How old were you when you
well,
moved
like,
to
Ibadan? Like I said, that was, the fight was in the fight should be between 1960 or 62.
Okay.
So, which means I should be about five years.
Yeah.
But because, in those days, any child of age 2 and above will be very, very streetwise.
Age two?
Yes.
Is that typical of Akure or just in general?
No, just Yoruba.
Wow.
From age 2, you will be very, very streetwise. Not unlike here now, like age 2 is...
You're a child, you're a baby.
Age 2 in those days, they can send you on an errand. yes, to go and buy things, because you are streetwise, well brought up, well trained,
And there was security. I guess that's a big deal.
Yes.
Because if you
were in those days, you can. We used to walk, going to discos, what you call clubbing.
Clubs, like nightclubs,
Nightclubs. We walk. I remember I walked from Oval tube station.
Wow.
To Lewisham at the time.
That's a distance.
Wow.
So
in those days, you can do such things without anybody challenging you.
And at that young age?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
You can walk anywhere. You can go and buy things. There's nobody to challenge you or to caution you.
I mean, that's a dream. It sounds like Nigeria at that time, the kind of, I guess, what society must have been like would have been very different and much calmer to Nigeria, especially when I was growing up. Because at 2, I don't remember being that streetwise or Nigeria or Ibadan being safe enough to be out on my own as a 2 or 3, even 5, 6, 7 year old. I don't think it was the same.
You see, the whole thing started getting bad in the late 70s. I can say as late as 1979 to 80 or 81. That's when things started getting bad in Nigeria.
Mm.
And I remember it, to best of my knowledge, it started with when they introduced what they call the indigenization decree.
Oh.
Because before then, you have quite a lot of foreign companies in Nigeria. I remember showing my children the picture of Ibadan then, And the question was, what happened?
That's always the case, even now, yes. When I look back at old pictures.
What happens? And it started with all this military coup, and Murat Ala Mohammed introducing the indigenization decree, and quite a lot of those companies left Nigeria.
Mm.
And things started getting worse and worse and worse. And it became a situation of a survival of the fittest.
Mm.
Everybody wants to make money.
For themselves.
For themselves to survive.
Mm.
There wasn't any checks and balances or control
put in place
anymore.
Before we get there, we should take it back a bit. So do you remember your education? What was your, was it primary school, secondary school? What was it like starting primary school, if you remember that far back? Like, what were you like as a primary school student?
Well, I went to one of the toughest primary schools in Ibadan.
What was the name of it?
Ebenezer African Church, Okeado.
Wow.
Under the leadership of Baba Ebenezer, Baba F. Owokukade Adekoya. In those days, they beat you. They beat you.
Did you get beaten quite a lot? Were you troublesome?
Not really, but I play football very well. So I get people loves me, put it that one way or the other. But you know, in primary school in those days, Baba Ebenezer will come to your class and ask multiple questions, and he wants an answer within a second.
And if you don't give,
and if you don't get it right, you know the hose pipe.
Wow.
You know hose pipe they use here in. They put
like copper wires.
Inside the hose wire, and that's what they.
Wow.
And you cannot complain. If they say they are going to give you 6 lashes, and after one you start crying, they double it.
That sounds like punish. That's.
Yeah. Well, it trained us.
Yeah.
It disciplined us. You cannot see anyone of my age, of my generation, or from the same area who is a bad person today.
And you think it's down to how that discipline was enforced in those early ages?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I that's not uncommon to hear. What about a primary? So, if primary school was a lot like that, was secondary school different or was it the same? Were you still into football? Was the experience largely the same?
Secondary school was a bit different. And
what secondary school did you go to?
I went to one of the best, Ibadan Grammar School. Yeah, I went to Ibadan Grammar School. I had a carryover for 1 year because I was sick at the time, very, very sickly. In fact, I was in the hospital for 1 year. Up to today, because when I see them to say, what was the nature of the sickness then? I can't identify it. And the doctors, funny enough, we have all the doctors are white.
And combined, they didn't know what was wrong with you for a whole year.
What was wrong for a whole year. So I was being transferred from one hospital to the other. Until later on, they just discharged me to go into the hospice, like something.
And then you got better?
My recovery was miraculous.
Wow.
Yeah, what happened was, I was in bed. My father would come inside, look at me, and start crying.
Wow.
Crying. So there was a day he sent for his own uncle from the village.
Mm.
So, and the man came inside, looked at me, and the man shook his head like,
wow, this is bad.
It's bad. And he went into the garden, picked some leaves, in the garden, just ordinary leaves. There's no biological name or anything for those leaves. Well, picked those leaves,
rubbed it together,
put it on my head, and gave me something like a headbutt. 3 times, and I got up.
Wow.
Something which has been troubling me for 1 year.
Wow.
And I got up. And unfortunately, the 7th day, the man died.
Wow. This is an interest.
Yeah.
I've never heard something like this before.
And the man died. And, my father took me. I was the only one my father, because we don't go to Ijebu. And he took me to the village to witness the burial. And what he said was that the man, you know, I don't know if you
see some kind of transference.
Transferring the death. He took over the death.
Wow.
Because he knew what was going on. So he took over.
Wow.
And that's why he always tell me that nobody can kill you. that's what my father always say.
But in that whole year, so you missed an academic year because of that sickness. How old were you?
I should be about 13, 14.
Wow, so you're a teenager already?
Yeah. I should be 13, 14 that year.
So what about Ibadan Grammar School then? How was your experience? Obviously, you're back in school now. Were you very academic? Were you...
Ibadan Grammar School is a school for tough people. Very, very, you need to be tough to...
Like thick skin, very thick skin.
Thick skin to scale through. It's also another school that teaches you about life in the future. You don't take things for granted.
So you picked up a lot of people's skills or you picked, like, what when you mean it toughened you up, you mean, was it very brutal by today's standards? Would you say it was very, I don't know, very disciplinarian?
Discipline and also brutal with your seniors. Because seniors are allowed to punish you.
So you were dealing with not just school authority, even your...
Anybody who is about 2 years your senior...
Can punish you.
And you have to respect them a lot.
Wow.
You can't sit down when they are sitting down. You know? You have to fetch their water for them to have their bath. And you have to get their food for them. Mm. You iron their clothes.
I wonder, was it any different? Because you had older siblings that might have been in the same school. I don't know if you're...
No, my brother went to a different school.
Okay, so you had no protection. No protection.
But I know quite a lot of his own...
Friends
who we all grew up together.
Okay.
If I can mention names, I don't know.
You can if you want to.
There are people you know very well. The Bangbalas, the Odudes, and quite a lot of Okeado family.
Crew. The crew. Were you all, because it sounds like you all grew up together or you had like a huge community growing up and it wasn't, you know, which is something that I think I've learned is many families grow up alongside other families and you're not just, it's not just your family doing their own thing. You have like a collective, like a community. Was that true growing up as well? Did you have many other families that you knew, you know, the entire siblings from the eldest to the youngest and you all grew up together?
I think so, yes. I think we all grew up together. Family, extended family, you all do things
together.
And you share ideas, you share many, many other things in common. Unlike here, which is now more restrictive, it's you and your family alone. Only when you're doing... functions.
You all get together.
Get together, yeah.
Well, so you're 13, 14, maybe 15 now. Is this, because I know it to be true of my life, is that when you first start to talk to the opposite sex? So is this when you first start to experiment with talking to girls or maybe having crushes or...
I don't think I did that when I was in the...
In secondary school?
In secondary school.
No?
Maybe I try to, shyly, I try to.
Oh, were you very shy?
Yeah, but not something which I can say that I don't think I really, I don't think I did that.
At all?
Yeah.
So when was the first time, when do you remember the first time that you had a crush or talked to somebody or romance?
I think when I left secondary school, I went to Bekuta to go and walk.
Oh, so, what did you work? Is this after uni?
No, I
did you hadn't
my
gone to uni.
I was working with in the bank then, cooperative bank.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was when they created Ogun State.
Right.
And Abeokuta was the capital. And my father was transferred to Abeokuta. So I went along with him to...
Wait, so did your whole family go with him or just you and him?
He went, and
then you went with
because
him.
We always come back to Ibadan
okay.
for weekends. Yeah, okay. So I went with him because I was working in the bank then. And I think it was in the bank that I had my first
relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, first relationship.
Yeah.
Nice. Is that something you could talk to your parents about, or like how did you handle that?
You talk to me. You dare not. I even remember when I started dating my wife, and she came to visit me one day. She was wearing one dress, and my dad had to send her back home. Send her back home. That, wow. Did your parents saw you wearing this kind of dress?
Wow.
You cannot dress like this and come to this house. Send her back.
Wow. Was that the kind of person he was? Very traditional and very...
It's part of discipline, you know? It's not traditional, but discipline that, you know, if you dress...
modestly.
Modestly, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you start working in the bank, you meet somebody, you're, you know, in a way you're becoming a man, in a sense.
Secretly.
Oh.
You can't tell your parents that you have... because I remember what we always do is that sometimes when Papa always go, we always go back to... Ibadan.
On the weekends.
On the weekends. Well, I always like to stay behind.
Okay, that was the window.
Yeah, that we need to do some overtime in the bank. Mm. And that's because the lady I'm talking about was still in the secondary school then.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, because they are all streetwise then.
When so now you're working, how did you go from from being streetwise from quite early? Was independence something very easy? As a were you very quick to assert your independence? You know, you're working, you've got your you're living away from home. Were you quite independent at that age?
At what age? When I started working.
When you started working, yeah.
Oh yes, I was independent then. I buy my own things.
Yeah.
I cook my own food. Go out, travel.
Wow.
I do things by myself.
Wow.
By that time, I don't need...
Any help?
Any help, yeah. The only thing my dad tried to enforce, which I rebelled against, is... and which I think is something which I regret not learning properly, and that is the habit of savings.
Mm.
You understand?
But he was very interested in teaching.
That you don't spend all your money, you need to save.
Mm.
But I'll go and take all my money. He kept the passbook. I'll go and withdraw the passbook.
Wow.
Go and spend my money. I work for it.
Yeah.
But looking back, I think it's one of the important things one should teach their children, one way or the other.
We'll be back with more from this conversation. Hey, if you're enjoying this podcast, why don't you share it with a friend? Why don't you spread the word? Send us some feedback. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at H2H Podcast. If you marry taxi driver, I don't care. If you marry lorry driver, I don't care. If you marry railway driver, if you'd like to listen to my music, the website is middaysmusic.com for all things Middays Music. That's MIDESMUSIC.com. CCGU, you know the shame, plenty husbands is too much. If she must go, don't you worry, please let her go, nobody cares. If she marry taxi driver, I don't care. If she marry lorry driver, I don't care. If she marry railway driver, I don't care. If she marry motor driver, I don't care. And now back to the podcast. Okay, so now let's fast track a bit. So how did you decide that you were ready to get married?
I dated my wife for about 11 or 13 years before we got married.
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
we started in the secondary school, but nothing, you know,
developed to that point.
You know, she visit, I visit. Yeah. Then when I was working in bank in Abeokuta, she would come over weekends, nothing.
Yeah.
Then when she completed her own secondary school education, she now came to Abeokuta.
Okay.
To
work as
further,
well.
No, to further education.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which was the Polytechnic. She was doing accounting then. So by that time, I already made a plan to travel to England.
Ah.
So which was 1981.
How old were you when you when?
I think happened? I should be 26 or 27. Okay. I got married at the age of 27.
Oh wow! Okay. Yeah.
So I came to England and you know, without hesitation, she came.
She came
over as well.
Yeah.
So we were staying together and then.
Did you get married here or?
Yeah, we got married here.
In the UK?
Yeah, well, we had two wedding celebrations. Because by the time she came, within some months, she got pregnant.
Ah.
And then, you know, we had to go to the registry to formalize everything. But the father is another strict man.
Saying, her father?
Her father.
Wow.
Said, no, you have to come back to...
To Nigeria.
To Nigeria to celebrate the wedding. So we went back to, August 18, 1984. And that's when we had the church wedding.
Was this while you were both pregnant? Oh, no, you were...
She was pregnant then.
She was pregnant when you went back
yeah.
to...
Mm-hmm.
How did you personally handle the news that you were expecting a child?
How did I handle it? I don't think there's anything different to me.
It just naturally...
Natural, yeah.
Yeah.
Something natural.
Is that true of your experience of parenthood in general? Was there ever any anxiety? Was there ever any, I don't know, second
guessing? Well, there'll be daily anxiety, you know, what is going on. But because I just believe because there's good medical facilities there, nothing to
worry about.
To worry about. Of course, there'll be days she say, oh, this is pain, you know. And it's not something which we consider very serious then. Until the last one, which she had a cesarean.
Ah.
Because she refused to come on time also.
Well, how did you find being a dad in the beginning?
It was challenging, very, very challenging, and also expensive one way or the other, you know. And because at that time as well, we were both students.
And away from family?
Which family?
You both moved here, right? So,
yes.
So your family was back
Well, you know, back in Nigeria, you see people to assist you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's me and her alone here. And I had to work all sorts of odd jobs then because by that time, we haven't got papers.
Ah, I see.
So, in fact, I used to tell people there is no job which I did not do in this country.
Wow.
From what they call early morning cleaning. I'll go from one cleaning to the other, underground, then, you know, quite a lot. Then
But you felt you had to basically work hard to support and to support your growing family, basically.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Then I had to do security jobs, and with how much? No, it's not a big. I remember my first salary was about £14 or so.
Wow.
A week.
In context, was that very little? Was that a lot? I mean,
well, it was a bit sufficient because you know your travel card. Also,
yes.
Travel card is about 10p or 5p.
Wow, the good old days
for a drop. Yeah, and I remember they used to sell chicken for about 50p.
Wow.
Also, and all those African meats. There's not much of African meat in those days.
This is the 80s, right? This is
in the 80s, yes. So, relatively you can buy, you can survive with £10 a week. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we survive with £10 a week. Yeah.
I want to ask you a question. So how was it, was life very different now living in the UK compared to a lot of friends that you had who still lived in Nigeria? Were you noticing any sort of big life changes that were happening, you being here and they being back home?
Well, maybe as you can guess, or maybe you understand, right now I'm fed up living here.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought there should be another challenge. You know, people talk about Nigeria not being good, and I don't really believe it's that bad.
That's very interesting, considering you've lived most of your life outside of Nigeria.
Yes. I still find Nigeria to be home.
Interesting.
I find it to be home. I believe it is what you do to make yourself comfortable wherever you are. That is how you will enjoy life. To me, life here is becoming tougher and tougher and tougher every day.
In the sense, if you
look at it this way. If you earn £100 a month or a week, how much will you say actually you enjoy yourself from that £100?
When it comes to bills, when it comes to the cost of living.
Back in Nigeria, up to now, if you have that £100, it depends on your standard of living, how you stretch your standard of living. That £100, you can
stretch it however
stretch
you want.
Stretch it,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you still live a good quality life. Forget about the issue of security, electricity, and water. Like I said, you provide your own comfort for yourself. So
if given the choice, you would move back to Nigeria?
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely.
Wow.
I've seen quite a lot of programs about people moving back to Nigeria from US, UK, and, you know, not Nigerians, you know, Black Americans. And they enjoy life there better than here. The only good thing about UK now is the medical facilities.
I was about to say the technological, the advancements.
Yeah, not even the technology, because Nigeria also has the technology
this
one way
true.
Or the other.
True.
But the NHS, which you don't have back home.
Yeah.
But you go and write this down, UK is going to become like America, where you must have a health insurance.
I mean, so much is changing in the political landscape, and there's no telling what the future will look like.
Yes. And I believe Nigeria has a better future.
Right? I think a really great thing is, because Nigeria is a developing country, the possibilities in the sense that there are so many more things that can be improved on, and I guess the one of the most genius ways to ride a wave is to find the wave when it's on its way up, because then you get to be part of change. But I have to say, I'm really surprised that you will choose Nigeria over here. Not because, you know, I don't know if I can answer that question myself, but I imagined, having lived outside of Nigeria for that many years, you will be used to life in the UK and just wanting...
It's because I've tried
both.
Both. You know, and I am somebody that believes in the future. You know, I believe that things will get better in Nigeria. Rome was not built in a day.
Very true.
If we all start running away from the country, there's no way...
Who will do the work?
Who will do the work?
Yeah.
And like I said from the onset, it depends on how you want to live your life. When I go to Nigeria, if I decide not to see anybody, I don't see people. Well, maybe I'm used to staying indoors. Even here, I don't go out unless there's a family outing. I'm not somebody that likes a crowd. Mm. You know, even, you know, I was discussing it with my wife this morning, doing church, serving in the church. I do this, I belong to the sanctuary keeper.
Okay.
All I do is go there at my quiet time, sweep the church when people are not that many.
Mm.
But she likes too much. I don't talk too much. I don't like too much publicity or anything. I do. You also notice that whenever there's a celebration, I do it myself.
Yeah, yourself, yeah. You're an introvert.
Yeah. I do it myself. I organize. You know, when I was 60, my kids said one of the assets that they know I have is organization.
Mm. Mm.
You know, I organize myself very well.
Yeah.
I don't wait for anybody to direct me or tell me, go and do this, go and do that.
Very self-sufficient. Very,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What has been your experience of getting older? You know, about to become 63. That's it's 6 decades you've been alive. What's been your experience over the years of getting older? Are you embracing it? Are you anxious about what the future might look like?
Well, future in this country.
Or just even for you.
Yeah, future in this country for older people is not very pleasant. Mm. Especially with the weather.
Mm.
It's not something which... okay, put it this way. I've done wills, prepared wills for elderly people in this country, and I know how they feel.
Mm.
When they start telling me in those days that they suffer one kind of pain, I always think, oh, what's wrong with them?
Mm.
But when I, you know, at the age of 57, 58, that's when I started feeling the pain that they are having.
Right.
And I can now relate with them and see, oh, this is what these people
are saying.
Yeah. Mm. So, as I get older, medically, even though there's the medical facilities, but health-wise, it's not pleasant for me.
Mm.
So, and that's one of the reasons why I want to go back. Because you have all the sunshine. Oh, they always tell, go and take vitamin D. There's no sun in this country.
Yeah.
You can't keep on taking tablets for the rest of your life.
Mm.
You want a place where natural weather can heal you.
Mm. What do you think, or what would you like your legacy to be? What would you want people to say about you, about the kind of life that you've lived, either your children, your wife, your family members? Like, what?
I think I will leave that to individual to judge. But one thing I know definitely is about my profession, that I've assisted so many people to remain legally in the country. To the extent that when I'm going out, you know, going on in the street, some people will say hello to me. And I'll say, oh, I don't know you. Where did I know you? And I say, oh, you got my papers for me in those days. You know. Outside the family, I think I've been very, very helpful to quite a lot of the ethnic minorities in this country.
Sure.
But for family, that is entirely up to them to decide. I don't control
your legacy.
Yes, or control how people live their life. Mm. I just allow them, you know, maybe the way we were brought up, you know, even though with strict rules, but you do what you have to do.
Yeah. And your dad, your granddad, what are you most proud of as an achievement? Other than what you said about especially being instrumental in helping people in their lives, what if anything else, are you most proud of?
I think I'm proud of my family, my kids and the grandkids. Yeah, I'm happy they are all growing up and they are all independent. They are all being successful in life. You can't be more prouder than that.
Not, yeah. this next question, I guess, is a reflective one. But if any, do you have any regrets over the last, just in your life?
The only regret I have is not going back to Nigeria on time. I'm telling you.
When would the ideal time have been? When do you think was the right time that you missed?
I think when I finished my law degree, I should have gone back. I have quite a lot of opportunities in Nigeria. I have people that say, oh, assuming you are here today, we know where you will be.
Why didn't you go back?
It's family. You know. Yeah, I think just because I want to be with my family. You know, but if I had gone back, I'm not boasting.
You'd be a different man.
Yes. I'll be a top person back in Nigeria. You know? So, you know I have a chieftaincy title as well.
You do? So, yeah. So is that would that make you an Otumba as well?
I don't know. I'm not an Otumba. I am my chieftaincy is the chieftaincy within the Anglican communion.
Oh, okay.
Which is the equivalent as a knight in a Catholic church. So special. I have the title of the Ashiwaju Ijo, which is the highest title within that Ijebu diocese.
Okay. How did that come about?
I think one of the things which I do in life and which I can say, maybe one of the things that I can say I'm very proud of is my generosity. I not knowing to my wife, but I give quite a lot to the church and to the less privileged. I've assisted many orphans to become somebody, you know, send them to school, pay for their school fees, you know. And I think my generosity is one other area which I can say that I'm proud of. People who knows me very well knows that I give out a lot. So that's another thing.
If you could leave maybe your children or grandchildren with one quote that you have lived by or that you particularly like, what would that be?
I think it would be enjoy your life with a reasonable sense of wisdom. Because you can enjoy life without wisdom. So enjoy your life with a reasonable sense of wisdom. Be wise. But not wise in the sense of the world.
In a godly sense, you mean? Yeah. And finally, I want to take you back to some of the music. So what kind of music do you remember listening to as a boy? Who were the artists you were listening to?
As a boy?
Yes. We'll start there and then, you know.
I don't think I ever listened to... Oh, yeah, when I was in... primary school. I think it's the only record that, what do you call it now?
Vinyl.
My dad bought this, I don't know what you call it again. There's this music by the Wranglers of Ghana.
Ramblers
or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it High Life? Was it kind of High Life
it's
music?
High Life. And, as a boy, I used to dance to Ike Dairo very well. Yes, I used to be the best dancers in Okeado then.
You had competitions?
Oh, yes. Yes, I used to be the best dancer, Ike Dairo. I listened to Ike Dairo.
Wow.
Very much, yeah.
And then growing up, so secondary school, this is teenage years. I'm assuming, obviously, this is Stevie Wonder era, Motown.
Yeah, Motown, yeah. I never liked Michael Jackson.
What?
I never.
What?
I don't listen to Michael Jackson.
Well, are you talking about then or now?
Then and up to now. I prefer Prince
Oh, this is okay. Okay, so you were very you know that there was a time when people were you were either a Michael Jackson fan or a Prince fan. You were a Prince.
I was a Prince fan.
And Michael Jackson's. How can you not like Michael Jackson?
I just don't like. And I've forgotten most of their name. There's this producer. I've forgotten his name.
Now Rogers, is it? No, that's
Roy Ayers.
Roy Ayers. Yeah.
But I can't remember that. There's one particular producer who. He actually produced Michael Jackson at the time.
Oh, Quincy Jones.
Yes.
Wow, nice. Yes. And then when did your love for jazz? Because I know you're really into jazz. When did that? Did you start listening to jazz back then too, or is that a recent?
No, I started listening to jazz in the mid-80s.
Okay.
Yeah. Because then I used to drink quite a lot of brandy.
Ooh, and brandy with jazz.
Brandy with jazz. Yeah,
it sinks into your. It's a winning combination. Yeah.
It sinks into your brain. Yeah. And when I was in the uni, yeah, I also listened to jazz with brandy.
Mm.
You know.
Mm.
And that was it. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Uncle, for doing this. Thank
Pleasure.
You. This has been it's been amazing. And I think I've learned so much about you that I didn't already know. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.